Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome to Fail Better, David Duchovny's new podcast with Lemonada Media. On Fail Better, David, who has experienced both low and high-profile failures throughout his life, explores the vast world of failure, how it holds us back, propels us forward, and ultimately shapes our lives. Each week, he'll chat with guests like Ben Stiller, Bette Midler, and more about how our perceived failures have actually been our biggest catalysts for growth, revelation, and even healing. Through these conversations, he hopes listeners can learn how to embrace the opportunity of failure and fail better together. Fail Better is out now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. On today's show, we are joined by Austin Storms and Brianna Sturgis of Galaxy Digital Holdings to talk about our film, The Big Empty. We're revisiting how that film was created in the first place, what this Helios facility looks like, how large it is, how they do deployments. And then we talk about Bitcoin mining in small town USA, what it means for Bitcoin miners to be good partners in rural communities, and how Bitcoin miners should talk to legislators, politicians, and other stakeholders and communities to get their story across well. Thank you to Galaxy Digital for joining the podcast. Before we get into the show, we want to thank CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner, and Foreman Mining, Master Your Mining, for being the lead sponsors for the Mining Pod. You'll hear a little more from both these companies during the show. Thank you to both of them for making the Mining Pod possible. Okay, a few words from our sponsors, and then on to the conversation.
Hey listeners, let's talk about revolutionizing your mining operation with Foreman. This isn't your average management tool. It's an all-in-one solution for reducing costs and significantly boosting your revenue. Foreman brings a cutting-edge dashboard to your fingertips, empowering you with automated energy strategies. This means not only curtailing around real-time prices, but also strategically enhancing your profit margins through demand response. It's about leveraging energy efficiency to its fullest potential. With Foreman, you get a system that scales with your business, inventory management for assets, infrastructure integration, and business intelligence. Foreman elevates the cash flow and production of your entire operation. To see how Foreman can redefine your mining operation standards, visit foreman.mn. With Foreman, you're not just managing a mining operation, you're setting a new standard in the industry.
Are you a retail or institutional investor interested in Bitcoin mining companies? The Miner Mag brings you free data and analysis from all major NASDAQ-listed Bitcoin mining operations to know who stands out. Check out visualized metrics and data-dependent stories at theminermag.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Mining Pod. Today, we're joined by Austin Storms and Brianna Sturgis of Galaxy Digital to talk about, well, our film documentary that we all worked on together. Austin, Brianna, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys all doing?
Doing pretty good. How you doing, Austin?
I'm good. Thanks for having us. Appreciate being on again.
Yeah, always good to have you on. If anyone missed the show with Austin, I think it was December. Time's flying by, but we had Austin on with Taylor and Mark on a Takeover podcast to talk about the Galaxy Digital Helios mine. I said it was the largest immersion mine in North America, or on track to be the largest. What's the megawatt size at right now? Because I know you guys are like constantly deploying new hash rate.
Yeah, it's the facility in total is running at about 185 megawatts right now. Yeah, it's cooking.
Pretty big. Okay, well, that is the gist of the story, I guess, is how did 185 megawatt Bitcoin mine end up in Spur, Texas? And of course, it can go up to 800 megawatts, right, is like the size you guys have allocated for. You can grow into that. So we made the film together. Brianna, say you're the protagonist along with Jonathan, who's not on the podcast today, but big shout out to Jonathan for also being in the film quite a bit. Yeah, I think we can start off with a little bit of bios. Austin, maybe we could throw it to you first and then Brianna after.
Yeah, so quick bio, co-head of mining here at Galaxy. I run all engineering operations, power, software, networking across the mining business. We're part of a larger overarching business that's our digital infrastructure solutions arm. That includes our StratOps team, our staking efforts, and then GKAID, which we purchased out of the Celsius bankruptcy as well. And so prior to joining mining at Galaxy, I was the director of engineering at Great American Mining with Marty Bend and Tom Massaro and Reed Browning and most of that team that's now at Cathedra/Kungsleden. And then before that was founder at Bearbox, early containerized mining solution manufacturing demand response aggregator. So
Kungsleden, you're the first person to say it correctly on the show. Brianna, what's your bio?
Well, I'm a project manager here at Galaxy at the Helios site. I have my hands on a lot of different things, not really the technical side, more business operations and things of that nature, inventory, warehouse, security, just administrative items. I have over 20 years in administrative work and in community relations. And mostly just self-taught. I've always worked in industrial environments, usually with mostly men. I find that we all get along a lot better that way. And I really enjoy the type of environment where everybody's just working really hard and you've got a good team. And that's always the way it's been. And I keep looking for jobs like that. And I think I finally found my home for a real good long time.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the gist of the film, and not to give it away for anyone who hasn't watched it yet, definitely going encourage that. It's probably the point of this entire podcast is kind of show the film we all made together. But let's just kind of start off with like the Galaxy Digital story with Helios for those people who weren't around last cycle. I think a lot of people who maybe have been into mining stocks the last 6 months of it as they have been pumping, they miss a lot of the drama from 2020, 2021, and might be a little confused. Austin, I'll throw it to you. So like the Argo story here and then how we get into the pool and then Galaxy stepping in is kind of what I'm going for.
Yeah, no, definitely. And before I kind of jump into the acquisition of the Helios facility from Argo, I kind of want to give a brief overview of what Galaxy is and why we were in the position to do that in the first place.
Definitely.
And so Galaxy is not a traditional prop mining play, fully vertically integrated. We are a crypto asset company, digital asset ecosystem at its core. We have three overarching business lines. The first one is our global markets business. We have a full trading business. It does like spot, derivatives, structured products, and also an investment banking team internally. Second to that, we've got our asset management business that Steve Kurz runs. It includes the FTX mandate. It also includes like roughly $10 billion under management as of last quarter, which is a huge, huge marker for them. And then we have our digital infrastructure solutions business where the mining business sits. The mining business is the one that owns the Helios facility and operates it in a vertically integrated fashion today. But in addition to that, we've got our strategic opportunities team. We've got the GKA self-custody and tokenization platform that we purchased out of Celsius bankruptcy. And so that's kind of setting the stage for who Galaxy is. At mid-2020, right, the markets meltdown. Everybody's having a bad time. A ton of counterparties are defaulting left and right. The best way to describe it is the tide of the industry goes out, and there's a lot of folks that are found swimming a little bit naked, including some mining companies. Galaxy was in a position with ample liquidity at the end of 2022. To acquire the Helios facility and campus from the Argo blockchain team, and have been running it ever since. We inherited a fantastic team, including Brianna, as well as a bunch of on-site operations folks, and since then have been remediating the facility, and we're roughly operating like 1% of the Bitcoin network there under management today.
Yeah, that's wild to think about 1% of the Bitcoin network. So when you guys acquired the facility, what did it kind of look like versus now? And my understanding is you came in a little bit after that process had already started, or am I mislining dates?
Yeah, no. So I started at Galaxy at the end of 2021. And so was fully here as part of the diligence, confirmatory due diligence and negotiations. Gotcha. Of those agreements. Look, when we stepped in, the team on site had done a phenomenal job with what they had to work with. One of the things that, you know, Galaxy's been well positioned in the market for the last several years is we just have a significant amount of capital and liquidity that we can tap to do things like remediate mechanical and electrical systems. And so as we started working through some of the design flaws and things that we needed to fix to get the facility operating at the high standard that we expected it to, we did that for I don't know, Brianna, what the first 6 months was all just fixing electrical, fixing networking, fixing software, fixing mechanical systems. And then right at the beginning of last summer, we got the site pretty stable. And we had, I think, one of the best summers that any mining company has ever had in the history of mining. Our cost to mine in Q3 was less than $0 a Bitcoin. And our cost to mine for all of 2023 was less than $8,000 per Bitcoin across our portfolio. And so, look, the team's done a phenomenal job. From an engineering perspective, we've fixed most, if not all, of the issues when we acquired the site. And we're rocking and rolling today.
Before we turn over to the film story a little bit, I want to just give people like an impression of the size of this place. So it's like if you're back in high school and you had to go run track for PE or whatever, maybe elementary school, you have to go do a quarter mile lap, do it four times. Like that's the length of the facility, is a quarter mile. So like if you are working there, like you are, you know, walking across this campus multiple times a day, really on your feet a lot, moving back and forth. If you're moving miners or like putting them in these immersion systems, like it's quite a workout. And I think it's just a testament to how large and like the proof of work side of Bitcoin, right? So what are some other like facts or numbers or data points that we can like point people to who aren't super familiar with Bitcoin mining, but they can kind of wrap their heads around like how like truly large this site is that you guys are operating?
Man, I think the biggest one is exactly what you said. When you walk into the main facility, or what we call phase one at Helios, the internal part of the building is 1,200 feet long. It's legitimately four football fields as a straight shot from end to end. When I first walked in, the first time that I did diligence, I remember thinking this is the largest mining facility I've ever stepped foot in, and it just kept going. In addition to that, there's close to 2,000 tanks inside of the main facility, and we have over 1,500 power distribution units powering machines that are physically immersed inside of these tanks within, you know, a dielectric fluid that keeps them cool as we pump them through the mechanical systems. And so it's really hard, I think, to describe how big it is to somebody who hasn't seen it. But the campus itself is 160 acres, and the building that's 126,000 square feet looks small on the campus. You know, they say everything's bigger in Texas, and they're not lying. Bitcoin mining facilities are as well.
Yeah, it's massive. We'll throw some of the video clips up from the film during the podcast so people can watch it if they're watching the podcast. Brianna, what was your take when you first went over the Helios facility, just to the scale and size of it?
Well, I was lucky enough to be here to watch it being built. So I wasn't necessarily hired at the time when it was being constructed, but my husband and I were hired to do drone work for Argo before I ever was even hired for Argo. So we came out here and did a lot of drone footage of the construction itself. So we were taken back at just the scope of it and the size of it. And we got a couple of hero shots of us in front of it just for our own whatever. Again, that was before I ever got hired. So it's been kind of amazing to see it grow, to see it finish, and to see where it is nowadays. And it's just going to keep growing. Right, Austin?
In the competitive world of Bitcoin mining, one name stands out: CleanSpark, America's Bitcoin miner. At CleanSpark, efficiency isn't just a goal, it's our standard. Our sophisticated facilities are built and led by expert teams who care about Bitcoin and the communities we work in. Scale, we've mastered it. Our large-scale operations have set us apart in the industry as examples of community-oriented building. Our track record speaks for itself. We navigate the complexities of the new economy with precision and with skill, continuously achieving operational milestones. Curious about how we do it? We invite you to discover the story behind CleanSpark's success at cleanspark.com.
Yeah, so the next plans for it, to that 800 megawatts, I know you guys are deploying like a lot of different hash huts outside. What are some of the other things to get the full 800 megawatt campus built out there? Or is that even the goal?
Yeah. So I guess We have an 800 megawatt firm capacity approval at our point of interconnection. That's approved by ERCOT. It's approved by AEP and WET. We are taking some strategic steps to energize the high voltage side of the substation. And part of the acquisition, we actually bought the contract for the main power transformers. And so those that are now on a 4 to 5 year lead time, they're sitting at our substation on the concrete pads that they will live on forever. We're expanding the substation. We've committed to do that. And then in addition to that, we're looking at what the next phase two of Helios looks like, whether it's 100 megawatts or several hundred megawatts of Bitcoin mining load, whether it's some of these HPC or edge computing use cases that we've seen in the market. We're still undecided, but continuing to grow both the high voltage side and then look at additional engineering when it comes to the medium voltage and low voltage infrastructure downstream of that.
Love it. Let me pull up some film of the video itself and we can just kind of talk through it. In this clip right here, we can kind of see Mike Shane, who's one of the technicians and project managers. Correct me if I'm wrong on his title. Down in Helios.
He used to be part of the data center technician team, and then I promoted him to be our site optimization lead and report directly into me for all things that need to be adjusted. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Let's go, Mike. Congrats on the promotion. So these are the big bathtubs you're talking about. Tell me a little bit about the specs for these things, and what would someone who's not really in Bitcoin mining need to know on a high level about what we're even looking at in this giant quarter mile long facility?
Yeah. So I would say the easiest way to describe it is that each bathtub is roughly 90 to 100 kilowatts of computing load. To kind of put a frame of reference on what a kilowatt is, I think peak household usage for most houses in the United States is between 30 and 40 kilowatts in the dead middle of summer. So think about each one of those tanks as continuous peak usage of 2 to 3 houses during the summer in terms of electricity. So it's incredibly dense. There's a lot of fluid within the facility. From a power perspective, coordinating and orchestrating the actual machine profiles based on the heat in Dickens County is something that's been a challenge. We finally figured it out last year, right before the summer. But hey, look, it's a ton of electricity. In each one of those tanks, if you put your hand on the side of the tank, you can feel how hot it is as the fluid circulates through the mechanical system, and it's just an industrial feat in itself. Yeah.
And then to the machines themselves, which we're seeing here now, these S19J Pros or S19 model units, you guys are dumping those inside each bath container. Brianna, can you tell me a little bit about that and what the process is like for installing these units?
Well, I don't do it myself, but from what I've observed is we get the miners in, we take very detailed inventory, serial numbers. And then with these particular models, they have to be prepped to go into these bathtubs, these tanks. So all the fans have to be taken off of the miners so that they can go into the liquid. And some of them need to have spoofers put on them, some of them don't. And then once they're all ready and prepped, then they'll get dunked. We try to keep all the hash rates the same in each tank so that we know what to expect out of there, and just because it's more organized. And then the guys will dunk them, and then we'll record what position they go into. There's 48 positions per tank, so 48 miners can go in each tank. And we know exactly where every miner is and which position they're in. And then the guys, another crew will come back through and hang the cables up off of the machines and plug them in. And then electrical and tech support will take over after that.
Yeah, it's a lot of manual work for what is like a digital currency on the other side of it, which is probably one of the coolest things about Bitcoin, in my opinion. Okay, we can leave that aside for right now. And I kind of want to turn more towards the film, and to get there, let's really talk about like Dickens County itself. So I'll pull up some of the video and we'll kind of have it in the background as we chat about it. But Brianna, I'm going to throw some more questions your way. tell me a little bit about like the town of Spur and you living there, like the people here. I mean, we're looking at the shots for those listening to audio, just the people who live in Spur and came back for the homecoming weekend where we filmed. We're going to make you kind of retake some of the things we asked you during the filming process, but yeah, it's a Spur. What's it like to live there? Who kind of lives there? What's something normal you see in town?
So with the homecoming that they do every year, I've never seen anything like it. I've lived all over the country and I have never seen a town where people come back for like the last 60 years, just represent their class and build a float and, you know, have these different dinners with each other's and bonfires. And so all these classes get together. It's like a school reunion, class reunion, but they do it every year for all these different classes. I've never seen so much so many people come back home. And so it's really special. I had no idea until I actually experienced the first one. I wrote a newspaper about it for the article because it was such a experience for somebody who's never been here before. So it's really a great community and things are a little bit slower here. So sometimes, you know, we're in a very fast paced industry and we need things done right now. Well, the people out here, they do it on their on Spur time. They do it on Dickens County time. Even if you say, well, I'll pay you double. Well, that doesn't really mean a whole lot because most people out here have, you know, what they need to survive and can live off the basics. So that's one thing that we had some issues with when we first moved here, trying to hire people to dig lines and put in utilities and things at my house. They just wanted to do it on their own time. So just got to get used to that a little bit, especially since I came from California where everything is now. Let's get it done. The other thing I really like about this community is if you're accepting of them, they're accepting of you. And if you get involved with the kids, then you're going to go far. Everybody's going to love you. If you go to the games, get involved in the kids' life, if you try to sub at the school, if you contribute to the fundraisers that the kids are doing door to door or all the different events, because it is a pretty impoverished area. We do have this new industry coming, which everybody's making everybody very excited. But it is a very impoverished area. And so people do just want to look for escape and whatnot, but they're also leery because we've had other companies come in here, set up shop and then leave. I mean, really easy example. I think everybody in the country can kind of relate to this. Family Dollar just shut down a bunch of their stores. Spur got a brand new Family Dollar about 8 months ago, and already they're shutting their doors. It's a brand new store. And now we've got this big old store in the middle of town that nobody can do anything with. Nobody can afford to buy the building. Nobody has any use for it. And now we've got this big, ugly building in the center of town that's just going to sit there empty. So, you know, some people do try to make it out here. Other people just, it doesn't work. So I don't know exactly where I was going with that, but that's just kind of the flavor of the town.
Yeah. I think you can really feel it when you can really feel it when you're down there. I mean, you guys are both not from Texas. Austin, you're from Louisiana, right? And Brianna, you're from California. As sort of like quote unquote outsiders, what's it been like to like move into a small town like Spur? I mean, yes, there's small towns in California and plenty in Louisiana as well, but for Spur itself and West Texas and for Bitcoin mining moving in there. What's that relationship been like? Has it been one of suspicion because of these companies come and leave, or has it been one of like embrace because there's new opportunities, maybe something a little bit more in between? Brianna, I'll throw it to you first.
So with the companies, there's suspicion. With people, it just depends. If you get involved with the town, then they're going to get involved with you. I was very lucky. A couple months before we moved here, the local newspaper reached out to me and asked me to start writing stories about my journey out there and what we were doing to come out to town. So when we got there, there were people actually lined up to welcome us down Main Street as we rolled into town. So we got a great welcome because it was very vulnerable in those articles, let people know that we were coming to be part of their town, not to change it, not to try to enforce what we wanted or try to do new things, because there's going to be a version to that. So we just went along with the flow and got involved with what everybody was doing. And then once people started to accept us, then we were able to do some different projects that we got support for. So it was more about getting involved with them before asking them to get involved with us.
Yeah, Austin, same question to you. What's been like the relationship moving as a Bitcoin miner and in your experience working in Spur or maybe even just Texas as well, since you're operating on Texas now?
I will double down on what she said. There's a little bit of suspicion right at the beginning. But as you continue to honor your commitments, and you know, I'm from a small town in Louisiana outside of New Orleans, where a handshake is a deal and your word is your bond. In Texas, it's the exact same way, especially in the small towns. We continue to do the things that we say we're going to do. We continue to build out the pool, which will be done, I think, at the end of next month. And that generates a ton of goodwill within the local communities because everybody's used to these large companies coming in and not honoring their commitments and not honoring their word and following through with what they say they're going to do. And we're very sensitive to that. And because of it, we make sure to go above and beyond in the local communities within Dickens County and make sure that we're part of the community and not just another one of these big companies that's coming in.
From a Bitcoin angle, do you think that's going to accelerate adoption of Bitcoin in these small towns where Bitcoin miners are coming in? Have you seen that? We touched on that in the film. We tried to ask everybody that we came into contact with, kind of being those like annoying people. Do you buy Bitcoin? Do you have Bitcoin? It seemed like people were more open to it because you guys were there and you guys had done a good job representing like the Bitcoin ecosystem and been good participants in the town. And I wonder if that's something we're going to see in other small towns. So I don't know if you've picked up on that at all, Austin or Brianna.
I'll say I've picked up on it. I've picked up on it elsewhere even before I was at Galaxy. So when I was at Great American Mining, we did a ton of like flare gas deployments in very rural parts of North Dakota and Wyoming. The electrical and mechanical contractors that we worked with in those deployments, they got excited about Bitcoin and they were buying Bitcoin. And these are folks in Dickinson, North Dakota, right? In the middle of nowhere, who, when you come in with something exciting and you have work for them and you explain what Bitcoin is and what money is to these people, like they truly, truly understand it because like you said at the beginning of this podcast, Will, you know, it's hard work setting up a physical Bitcoin mining facility. And all of the folks that I've run into in these rural places understand the value in hard work and understand what money really is once you explain how Bitcoin works to them. And so I'd say being a good steward of the Bitcoin network and kind of the Bitcoin community in a sense by setting up a large-scale mining operation is a net positive on these communities and the adoption of Bitcoin in these rural communities.
Need ASIC help? Check out Bitamine, one of Bitmain's certified repair shops located in Washington State with satellite offices in Colorado, Oklahoma, and Texas. PSUs, hashboards, immersion setups, in and out of warranty repair, Bitamine has you covered. Want to train your technicians? Bring Bitamine to your site for hands-on training in the art of ASIC repair, complete with Bitmain AMTC certification. Contact Bitamine today at dan@vmasic.com. Again, that's dan@vmasic.com. When you think of ASIC repair, think Bitamine.
Brownie, I'll give you some space there if you want to add into that at all. I don't know if you've seen people adopting Bitcoin at all because their interaction with local Bitcoin mining coming into town.
You know, I've had a lot of people ask me advice and questions, and you know, I'm very limited in what I can advise people to do because I can't give financial advice. I can't tell them what app to go with through. I can't tell them what exchange to do. If they come to me and they say, "Here, this is the app I want. This is what I want to do. Can you show me how to set it up?" I don't mind doing that, but I can't be the one who recommends anything to them. We did do a educational program about a year and a half ago out at the local library for the kids. And I'm hoping that we can do that again for the kids and the adults because they do a lot of local programs at the local library. I think things like that will keep helping us. We're doing also a lot of school tours. So we have a lot of high school students coming in and they know a lot about crypto. They know a lot about Bitcoin. They've got some really great questions and they're already looking to get into it themselves if they're not already into it. So I think that we're having you know, the next generations coming up is really going to be more interested in it. And I find out here that once the community and the people that I talk to understand that Bitcoin is not controlled by the federal government, you know, we have a very conservative population out here. And that is really a key to getting their brain to wrap around the fact that, you know, like in Canada, we had the truck drivers and the truck driver strike, and they went in and they seized a bunch of money out of these people's bank accounts in Canada. So they couldn't have gas. They couldn't do what they needed to do. They couldn't protest. And Texans don't want to be in a position like that where the federal government can come in and freeze their funds. So for me, focusing on that has helped with a lot of people who are more interested in it now because they realize how that works.
Yeah, I think Judge Kevin Brendel did a good job in the film, and just talking with him, like when we were kind of running around and filming, he articulated it really well. He's a Texan through and through. He's an American through and through. But you need something else. You need some separation of money and state. Let's look at this clip here. And then, Brianna, I'm going to ask you a little bit more about the storyline. And the storyline of the film obviously was around Bitcoin mining in Texas, but like the central thing here, or the central thread, was this pool, this like physical pool that kids run and jump and play in during the summers, and it hasn't been operating for a while. And we get like this interaction between you guys as the Bitcoin miners coming in and constructing this large facility and finishing it up and making money. And we have like the small town city council, which we're seeing here now on the screen. And, you know, they're sort of like the stewards of the town. And then at the end, we have like this promise is like this pool going to be fixed. And you guys fix the pool at the end. For this, the city council, this is like not an uncommon story. We're seeing it in headlines over and over and over again across the U.S. where Bitcoin miners move in. They either work well with the town or they don't work well with the town. We often don't hear the stories that go well, which is why I want to highlight you guys. But the stories that don't go well, we hear about and see in headlines. Tell me a little about your relationship with the city council, Brianna, and how like you see them within the city of Spur. And I'm particularly interested if you have any advice for Bitcoin miners who might be listening to the show, how they should interact with their community. I mean, you're the community lead in many senses for Galaxy. I know there's a few other people who do that as well, but what's your take on how Bitcoin miners could interact with communities they're living in?
Well, yeah, definitely shout out to Barbara Bogart. She's our community liaison, and she gives us a lot of advice. Her family's been in this area for a very long time, and they own a lot of land. So definitely want to shout out to her. You know, one of the things that this community and our leaders, I don't know how exactly I want to put this. Sorry, I'm having a bit of a brain issue there. But I've been dealing with city council for about 5 years. We've lived here for 5 years. And they've been working on trying to get the pool for a lot longer than that. It's been a community thing that it's been up on the ballot many, many times before. So that was already something the community really wanted. So I think, you know, dedicating yourself to a community project like we have, like Galaxy has communities to a big community project that helps everybody, is a really good way to make yourself, you know, for the city council and people in the city to like you and want to be around you and want to, you know, invite more people in. For me personally, I find that one of the best ways for us to get the community, you know, to interact with them is to use the local vendors. Let's put as much money into the community as possible. So if you've got a local mechanic, if you've got a local grocery store, if you've got a local hardware store, you need to do landscaping, you got a local feed and seed store. Those are the places that you want to visit and frequent, because those business owners are the people on city councils. Those in a small community, those people do a lot of double duty. So if you're going to, you know, maybe get somebody on a different community group, like the You have the local library, you've got the local historic commissions, you have the local food pantries, you have the Chamber of Commerce. These are all things that your employees and your company can get involved with. Because again, these are going to be the people you're going to interact with in these different groups and in these different businesses that are going to be your members of city council. So if you're already frequenting their business and giving them money and support that way, then they're going to be more open to passing whatever it is you're asking for. That's my opinion.
Yeah. One thing I picked up on when I was down there was the communication barrier between like small town USA and big tech or big corporations. And even though both parties are mostly speaking English, like doesn't always translate very well. What have been some things that sort of like helped kind of cross the barriers there? It seems like having like dedicated people on mining teams as like representatives of both like the town and the company has been something that's worked. But any other thoughts on that? I know like Jonathan's maybe a good example of this. Like he worked previously in the area, now works for Galaxy, worked for Argo, kind of be like a go between both sides.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I would agree. I don't know too much about Jonathan's history that way. But you know, his family and his wife's family go back really, really far here. And so when you have what they call kin, then, people are more readily to accept you. My only kin out here is, you met him, Harry Bob and Mary Martin. There was a interview that we did. It didn't make the documentary, but Harry Bob and his wife, they adopted us when they found out that we didn't have any kin out here. So as long as you have somebody to say who you're related to, then people are going to give you more trust. So it's good to hire locals.
Love it. Okay. As we finish up here, let's talk a little bit about the pool. So we'll throw some video on the screen. This pool, kind of legendary now, went out of service. I think it was like 08, 09. No one was really using it for quite a while. They're looking for funding for it. Brianna, I know that you spoke to me about this. I think some people at the Texas Spur spoke to us about this, how they're looking for funding, different ballot initiatives, different ways of raising money for it. Argo Blockchain came in, promised to rebuild the pool. They partially constructed it before they had some issues, like a lot of other Bitcoin mining companies had during the drawdown in 2022. And then Galaxy steps in, and you guys had to sort of set up shop for yourselves first before you could finish this pool. And now we're getting close to finishing it this summer. What does this story kind of look like as we're wrapping it up? What does the pool look like? Austin, I'll throw it to you. Where are you guys at with the pool? And how do you feel about getting this pool done? Are you going to like jump in it? Are you doing any like swan dives into it?
Yeah, look, the pool project has been one from the beginning, from when we acquired the facility at the end of 2022. That we've been committed to. One of the, how can I say this? One of the like historical artifacts of this pool in process was that we put the initial plans out to several contractors, and the pool bids came back north of $1 million. Right. And so I won't throw the contractor names out there. I won't say like the exact amount, but north of $1 million. And Brian and I looked at each other. We said, there's no way this pool is going to cost $1 million to build. Let's re-architect it. Let's make it with a local architecture firm. Let's make it exactly what we want. And let's put it out to process and make sure that we get this thing right. And so I guess like 6 months ago, we put it out to bid. After going through the re-architected plans, we then got a bid that was much closer to planet Earth and just greenlit the entire thing for Jonathan to manage that project. We've committed to, I think the pool we've committed to and the contractors have committed to a timeline that is before Memorial Day. And the marketing team internally has been pushing us to have a pool party, galaxy themed beach balls, the entire thing. I will likely do a backflip into the pool on that day. But no, I'm really excited. Like everybody has said, the pool represents a promise that was made that we're also keeping and delivering on. And I think that generates a ton of goodwill within the local community that we also hire and employ people from. I'm excited for next month. I think it's going to be a really good time. No definitive plans around the pool party yet, but it is in the works. Yeah.
I sure hope so. I hope everyone gets the day off from Galaxy to go jump in it too. I really want to see a shot of the mayor just lounging at the pool, just chilling out. That'd be a good film shot. Brianna, anything to add there as we kind of close out on the pool saga itself? It's certainly been like a whole thing. And you were there probably for the longest of people I spoke to besides natives. So you saw it after the pool was shut down and been empty for a while. But you were there during the Argo and then with Galaxy. So any thoughts to add on to what Austin was saying?
It's about time.
I'm done talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. I can't go to the grocery store or the gas station or the post office without somebody asking me about it. We got a little over 800 people in town and you can't escape it. So yeah, I would really like to stop talking about the pool.
Just memorialized forever in film. I apologize. No, I can empathize with you. When we were down scouting for that film in June of last year, it was hot. Like, I'm up here in Denver, I'm not used to that kind of heat. It was hot. And so I could understand why people would want that project done quickly and on time. But to your guys' point, you guys took over a project and had to finish it correctly. So Austin, Brianna, thank you so much for joining the Mining Pod. If you enjoyed listening to this conversation, I think you'll like the film even more. You can find it below in the show notes. Go check it out. And then also go check out the Galaxy Digital team. They have a lot of great research. Their mining company is top notch. So if you have any connections or questions about that, feel free to reach out to hello@blockspace.media. Austin, Brianna, thank you again.
Thanks, Will. Appreciate it.